With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Bijou Podcasts.
Welcome to another episode of Couple Goals, question mark. This is episode 2 of season 2. I'm Stace.
Hello, I'm Ben.
Hey, guys. We wanted to continue on with our part A episode. Oh, no, really? It's episode 1, part B.
Yes, correct.
Isn't it?
I would have said that too. Episode 1, part B.
Yeah, of our home birth story.
Do you know you have pasta sauce on your face?
I don't care. See, thank you, but, you know, where?
It's just here. There we go.
Okay. We had to take a time out, put the baby to bed. So if you haven't listened to that episode and you're interested to know what led us to this point, please go ahead. If you've skipped ahead to this part because you couldn't be fucked listening to the prep and you just wanted to hear the juicy details of our home birth, then
well
welcome.
Done you. Yeah. Yes.
Welcome. But yeah, we are a couple that are based in Sydney in Australia. We will we do an intro on who we are or just like another time, do you think? Or
I think we're good for now. I think we'll have it in the little description, you know, that, you know. We'll, you know, you can go back and listen to other episodes earlier on in the first season to discover who we are and what we're about.
Yeah, that was our fertility treatment. And this season we are now blessed with a baby boy and are just really going to navigate our lives week by week, being new parents, being a fairly young couple, a new couple, and trying to involve what you'd like us to talk about as much as possible. Which brings
everything
us,
coupledom.
Yeah, it brings us to the home birth because it's been the biggest requested topic, but it's also just something that we were always going to share and put down on paper, but not paper on the podcast world.
Podcast paper.
I think A, it's something that's really important to talk about, positive birth.
Yeah.
And B, I think it's just such an epic thing for us to record our memory of it to have forever, regardless of whether people are listening or not, right?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So where did we leave it? Where did we leave it last time?
You were saying on the Saturday that you were feeling a grief for your old life.
Yeah,
so it was quite fitting where Bryn started to get a bit restless.
Yeah.
yeah. And
talking about grief.
Yeah. Well, it's at the end, really.
Yeah.
I don't know if I had a moment like that in the lead up to the birth. I think I had plenty of sheddings through my pregnancy, and I believe that I had a lot more sheddings through my fertility treatment than I anticipated. So when my pregnancy came, as much as I did have a fair few physical symptoms, emotionally I felt like I was quite ready for this baby once I started to accept that it was coming because of the fertility journey that we had. So if you are a person that is going through fertility treatment or are a person that's struggling to fall pregnant, I really do say this with empathy, but also but just coming in strong from my experiences that I think I really am the mother that I am and the person that I am because of the way we got here.
Yes.
And I hate saying I wouldn't change it because it was so fucking hard. So it's not something I want to throw out so simply, but what I do want to say is that I don't think I would have been able to do all the things I've done in the short time of Bryn's life and the home birth and everything that I dealt with the pregnancy without necessarily having to have gone through all those challenges.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those hurdles would have been so much bigger that we went through with the pregnancy if we hadn't have gone through those other hurdles.
I think for me it's definitely the one thing that's really come from it is and I mentioned this in the previous episode, is surrender. Like I have always had trouble in my entire life surrendering to the moment and even believing that good things will come. That's why I haven't surrendered. I've always tried to control things because I was like, I've got to control it so I'm able to get what I want. And I think going through those struggles in leading up to trying to conceive and all of that stuff for me has taught me all about surrender every step of the way. You know, when you're trying to conceive, I had to learn to let go. Even though you are trying to control it and you get upset when it's not going the right way and you're not really ready to surrender the timelines. But then it all, you know, builds up a resilience to get to me to the point that we're at now, and that's having Bryn, then that helps me with him. Like, not trying to control the moments with him and go, oh, shit, I wish you were doing it this way or you were doing that.
But in
right now you're annoying me, you know, you've got to let go.
In particular, our birth.
Yeah.
Like a step before that, I think, the birth. So
that was where it came through the strongest for me.
Well, yeah. I think it's where it came through in action. You know what I mean? Like, we knew we'd learned those lessons, but it was the greatest test It not only were we able to surrender the birth, but we surrendered it so graciously, so beautifully, that we really, I really look back at that birth and see it as a testament to the things that we have learnt in the past 2 to 3 years of being together and trying to conceive him, you know?
No, at no other time in my life have I felt more so that everything was going to be all right than in that moment, like sitting in the birth pool, like right before the birth.
Before
that, like, you know, just going through contractions, you know, all that stuff.
So before we get into those contractions on the Sunday, just a bit of prep of what we did in terms of our home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we've spoken about what prep we did for the actual birth and the labour, some of the things that we did, you know, the study that we did. But we haven't really spoken about how we set the house up. So the pool is set up prior to your labor, or at least the area so supposed to be set up. We had a rocky kind of just a rocky start around the pool, because Ben found that that was just the thing to really pinpoint all his fear and nerves on. So one of your roles was to set the pool up, obviously, because if I'm going into labor, that wasn't something I was going to be able to do. And we needed to set up quite early.
Yeah.
And we rent, and the property, we have a property above us and below us, but that's it. It's just a really neat, lovely Art Deco building of 6 apartments.
Yeah.
But the pool gets pretty full and heavy, and so Ben was convinced.
Yeah, can get up to, like, you know, 800 kilos.
Ben was, it cannot.
It can. It's huge.
It cannot.
It's a lot of water. Water weighs a lot.
It was never 800 kilos, Ben. That was something you read somewhere and then got it into your head.
All right, what do you reckon it was, like 50 kilos or something?
No, but not 800. 800's almost a ton, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got to be up there.
That's an elephant. No fucking... Anyway.
Okay, let's halve it. Let's say 500.
Whatever. No, because you can't just give people information from the fear that you had originally. Like, that's... It matters.
Okay.
Like, I just don't think it was 800 kilos, okay, Ben. Yeah.
We can't just let's just agree that we can't put a number on it right
still,
now.
It's still a thing. Like, so it was just basically, it was at a point, Ben just rolled his eyes. Like, you couldn't like, see them. And he was like,
oh, it's still a thing. I'm like, no, well, it's not really, because it's in the past.
Yeah, no, but it was a contentious part of the process.
It was. A sticking point.
Yeah, you weren't ready to set it up. You wanted to then put plywood on the bottom. We have a builder that lives next door to us that runs his own construction company that was like, bro, it's fine.
Yeah, he didn't really just come out and say, bro, it's fine. But
well, this is what I mean. Are we going to go round and round in circles about this? Like, it worked out fine. And are you going to admit any of your fear in this?
No, I definitely have fear. I raised it as my fear. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It really played out massively in me trying to find ways that this was going to be a huge problem and we really have to be aware of it.
Which when you're still doing when we talk about it. That's my point. Like, you're still bringing up things that weren't issues.
Okay. So, yes, there were a lot of fears around that for me, and it was just me coming up with ways that this could be a problem, because I wasn't really ready to accept that, you know, I was comfortable with home birth. So,
to the point that our doula was like, I have an artist that has all wood ready for you. If wood would make you feel comfortable under the pool, I can arrange it. You never called her.
No.
Like, you just were never interested in fixing your own fucking problem with it.
No. And we talked about that today, actually. We were talking about that in another context, that, you know, once you get stuck on something, you're determined not to find ways to fix your problem.
Yeah, and that was exactly one of the people that can be like that in ISO. Yeah.
Yeah.
I left it, to be honest. I was so consumed with my own preparation that I knew it would come through, and Lizzie was quite great at facilitating. Our doula was really great in making sure that Ben felt supported in his own journey with stuff, so I felt like I almost didn't have to really address it, that I started to feel really supported. And that's why it's really important that your team is really quite connected, because I did feel an essence of Lizzie's got this.
Yeah.
If there is an issue or something happens, she's going to be here. She can deal with that with Ben.
Yeah. It's a big thing for the doula, though, as well, is to be there for the father. Because and the midwives have got the mum and the doula is really there to help the father and you know, the mother as well.
But. Yeah, and we looked at it as – well, Lizzie looked at it when I first had to see her that it's like an egg kind of situation that, I don't know, was the baby the yolk, the mum was the white bit and the dad was the shell.
Yeah.
And that everyone was doing their part. Mm. So she was there for all of us, really. But
doing their part to support each other.
And really what I understood with birth – And I got that from the She Births course, but started to really understand that as we read more and more, was that everybody was there for you, for the mother. And really the mother was the center of the experience and that everyone's job was to be around her and rallying to her. So if that meant that I wanted Ben to be my main birth partner and really have him and I as the key kind of workings of the birth and kept that really private, then it was going to be in everyone else's best interest to support Ben so he was able to continue to be that role for me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much necessarily even she was there for Ben as she was, but really we looked at it as more of a layering system and the way I wanted to birth was that it was very intimate and very much Ben and I alone as much as possible, which was a lot of pressure on you because it meant that you couldn't really leave me and we'll get into that in a second.
It's like dominoes. One falls over, everyone falls over.
Mm-mm-mm.
It's, you know, you really are all in it together, yeah.
Yeah, kind of exuding light off the mother, you know. So I was very clear on what I wanted to. So I was very clear that moving into this, I wanted to have privacy with Ben. So we set the house up where we had the baby's room at the front of the house, which is connected to our bedroom. Those were two areas that I put really clearly that they were kind of not out of bounds, but they were areas where I could go and be quiet and private. So either by myself or with Ben and I, but it wasn't really like a hangout part. I didn't want that to be that area. So when we were talking about putting the pool in the spare room or in other areas of the house, it was just so clear to me that up in the kitchen was the other end of the house where it was almost like the finale was going to happen. And when I wrote an Instagram post the other day, I realized that, you know, funnily enough, energetically, I must have been working my way up the house to birth at the very end of our house and then calling it.
Mm, like a little caterpillar.
Kind of, yeah. And slowly. So just moving through the night. So we set the house up where we had salt lamps ready, which we already have. We have incense ready and sage, which we already have. We had no extra candles. Like, we have a lot of the things that we kind of used for the birth in our house already.
Yeah.
We did have some coconuts and coconut water, which we didn't use. We set up the home with we were supposed to have some food for the midwives, which we never ended up doing.
We did have some snacks, but we didn't end up eating them anyway.
No, and it was hard because actually through the birth I was still saying to them, have you eaten? Have you, like, whatever? Yeah, I was still able to kind of do that.
We're okay.
Yes, you just worry about yourself.
Yeah.
And so what else did we have to set up? So the pool was the main thing, and you were able to do that once Lizzie got here.
Yeah, sheets, and then we had like a mattress protector that we put on afterwards.
Oh, that's right,
To make sure that everything, we had fresh
sheets.
Did you
and Lizzie put that on or did I put that? We put that on before.
Lizzie did it. I think Lizzie and I put the mattress protector on together, then I think she put the fresh sheets on after the birth, but that's... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So we had also some drop sheets that we bought. We had to change some of the tap fixtures to allow to use like a garden hose tap so we could fill the hose up, which went from the bathroom through the hallway, through the lounge room and into the kitchen.
That was one near hiccup. We couldn't get the hose to attach to the... to the tap in the kitchen, even though we'd taken the fitting off, the other fitting wouldn't go on. So we're like, shit, how are we going to do this? So we
had to get a screwdriver.
Plugged it into the bathroom.
Oh, that's right, because it could have just easily gone into the kitchen tap and it didn't work.
And extended it from the bathroom through the living room and into the kitchen. Yeah.
It was, but it worked. Like, it was, and the hose was long enough. I had a girlfriend that was hoping for a home birth that didn't happen. So she had a bucket and some drop sheets and a hose ready to go. So we didn't even have to go get that ourselves. Mm. So another thing that really kind of fell into play for us.
Yeah.
So then we had that. I had a football that I was using to kind of bring on labor in the lounge room, which ended up being handy. We had pillows and things at the ready.
The football was really good, like in labour, just to lean on, though, isn't
yeah,
it?
Well, yeah. For me, I think yeah. some people like to bounce in it, but I really needed to kind of crouch over and yeah. get really yeah. grounded and kind of almost in a cat-cow yeah. position. Yeah. I wasn't really up for sitting upright much. So what else did we prepare? I think that was about it, really. Yeah, yeah. Everything else we kind of had. I think Lizzie yeah. brought some stuff. All of the medical
champagne.
Equipment.
Got to have champagne in the fridge.
We didn't have it, actually. David brought it.
Oh, okay.
Bryn's godfather, Ben's mate, brought
GF.
It.
GF.
Yeah. No, that night he brought it.
Yeah.
So we also had all of the medical equipment in the spare room ready to go. So they drop off maybe 2 or 3 weeks before your birth. Once you're signed off that your home is fine for you to birth in.
And the birth pool.
They drop everything off. Yeah. We were lucky enough to use the birth pool from the hospital, which was great. A lot of people have to buy their own birth pool, which we were prepared to do, but we were able to use it from
them.
The hospital.
You can rent them from other places.
Yeah.
But you've got to get in early because they don't normally have too many of them. They only have one or two, and then
it's not very common. So all of these things you've got to be quite prepared for. But we were looking in December, so it wasn't, you know, crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they drop off medical equipment. So just to go through that quickly, they do. There's resus. They can still inject you with particular things. I had to bring on my placenta in the end, so I got an injection for that. They have, you know, they can do the what's the snip thing called the.
Cutting the umbilical cord?
No. That if I needed a...
Episiotomy?
Yeah, they can do that. Yeah. They're pretty much equipped to do everything midwives, which I wasn't really familiar with. But
vitamin
K. Yeah, incredible. Yeah. Because he got the... Yeah.
Vitamin K injection.
Yeah, so all good. They do the peds check. So if there's any issues, like we can see a pediatrician, but if you don't need to, they can sign that off. They weigh them, everything. So they have everything ready to go and all the other emergency things that we didn't need here if anything happens. Also for blood clotting, I think, or what's it when you lose too much blood.
Yeah.
They've got medication for that too.
Yeah.
So pretty well prepared. And at any point we did have a discussion that, you know, there was a time where Lizzie could, you know, essentially make a call for us as being the middleman between the hospital and us to go to the hospital. And we kind of didn't give her that power, but just made her aware that we were really happy for her to be the mediator between what is still a public system and they still have protocols, and us who were going to be pretty immersed in our birth.
Yeah. And she also knew, she also, having done many, many births, she knew what to look for, sounds, all that kind of stuff, when you were in, you know, going through contractions. So she was great on the phone with the other midwives,
knowing when to
kind of communicate.
So, yeah, we'll get into that because legally you need to have two midwives at a birth. You have one for the base of the bulk of the birth, and then the other one comes when it's closer to pushing. So essentially there's one to represent the mum and one to represent the baby. You cannot have a home birth with the public system without having two midwives present.
Right. I didn't know it was laid out like that, one for the mum, one for the baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So both their healths are covered, their needs are covered. I don't know if that's like that in the hospital. Probably is like that. Yeah. When it comes to pushing time, there needs to be two.
I'm sure it is,
So that was our set team. We had a midwife that was on call that wasn't my official midwife through my pregnancy. Having said that, my official midwife actually was away for a little bit of my pregnancy. So I had pretty a mixed kind of quality of care, which I wasn't too concerned about.
It wasn't a mixed quality of care. It was just
mixed people. I don't mean level of care. Quality, that's an awful word. What am I trying to say? A mixed...
Just a mix of carers.
Yeah, mix of carers. Thank you.
Yeah.
But definitely not quality because I cannot talk highly enough of all of the women that I saw, all of the incredible professionals that I saw. Yeah. So Lizzie, our doula, was in our team. And then on call that day happened to be Chauncey, who was our main midwife.
Yeah.
And then we had another midwife by the name of Cheryl Shez, who's kind of renowned for home birth. She's a bit of a home birth rock star, which we didn't really know at the time. No. Had been kind of doing her own private home birth practice for 20 years.
Someone I'd worked with when I mentioned that we were going with the midwives, he said, "Oh, is Cheryl in your midwife group? She you know, she gave birth to
she was the midwife both of his birth. Sons.
Yeah, and said she was rolled gold in his words.
Right. Rolled gold. Yeah, she's an amazing fucking woman. They all are. But in particular, through my pregnancy, I really connected with Cheryl. Like, I just kind of thought to myself, oh, fuck, I hope she's there. Because you don't always get a choice. You know, they're pretty hard workers. So it really just depends on what happens.
Yeah.
But our team, I just had a feeling that Chauncey and Cheryl would be at our birth from the beginning.
Yeah.
It was weird. So anyway,
a lot of feelings like throughout the whole process were like came to fruition. Sank. There was a lot of short term manifestation going on that kind of, you know, it was like, oh, I want this to happen. I can visualize this happening. I can see this happening, and then it happened.
Who was the other girl that came over? The other midwife that came over. Yeah, I thought maybe she was. It was either her or I don't know. I just kind of saw a few of them. Then we also had a student midwife that didn't end up making Nicole. It too. But it was crazy because everybody was so ready to be here.
Yeah.
You know, my actual midwife who I'd seen in my pregnancy was around the corner when I was actually starting to push. She was even going to come up. So the care was just ridiculous. Like people were just kind of desperate to come and get involved and help. But in the end, I think a decision was made, which I'm glad it was, that we kept it as intimate as possible. Yeah, I wasn't really ready for any swift
changes. No, and you can't make changes. Yeah, you can't make those changes late in the game because you're all in the mindset.
Yeah.
It's like when you go out partying, you know, when you're younger and you end up at your mate's place and there's a small group of you and you're all sit down hanging out and then someone says, oh, hey, can blah, 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 come over? And you're like, no.
Really? That didn't happen to me that much. It's like a bit more merrier with me.
Well, you know.
You're a stoner, so like that would be more like that would affect your vibe more. Man. Whereas
it was affecting my vibe,
I was probably on the other stuff, which is a bit more. Yeah. I need more people to talk to.
These people are sick, man. I need some more.
But
yeah.
Speaking of drugs, it is really the closest thing I will say that I felt like birth was in a real short wrap up was like an experience on drugs.
Mm.
And you are on drugs. It's just that you haven't taken anything. It's all natural hormones, drugs, which is what will continue to blow my mind about the experience, because it felt I've taken drugs. I know what it feels like to take them. I know the ups and downs and the highs and lows and the peaks. And that was so similar to how I felt through my birth.
Yeah.
So Sunday came. I still hadn't really kind of had much momentum. At this point, I was technically 31 plus Forty-one plus three. But if you went on some other dates that were also calculated by an obstetrician that we had an appointment with early on and a few other people, depending on which person you asked, we were pretty much just under 42 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So we were well and truly over.
Yeah.
We had a bit of an idea that I was having a big baby, or we were having a big baby. We had a stretch and sweep on the Friday and I was already 3 centimetres, which was quite a surprise because I really hadn't been given, I don't know, just
on the
much,
Friday, and we gave birth on the Monday. So just
idea that I had moved much further than my last appointment. So it was quite a nice surprise for all of us.
Yeah.
And a lot of the talk after that was, okay, this is happening. Like this weekend, you're likely to go.
Yeah.
So Sunday morning came, there wasn't really any other signs and it was just getting to a point. I actually read back a message that I sent my best friend and, you know, woke up Sunday morning and said nothing. Like just sent her a message saying nothing. Like
did
the
you
word.
Just one word?
Yeah. And she was like, it will come, baby. Like it will come, you know, like baby will come, it'll come, babe.
Yeah.
And so Sunday afternoon, you and David went for a walk that it was decided wasn't a walk that would accommodate my pace, so I was not allowed to come.
It's so true.
It was exactly what
happened. Well, we'd normally run. I don't know why we weren't running. I guess it wasn't.
I think you were buggered.
It wasn't a time to run, really. Yeah.
And so you guys went for a speedy walk, and I said, why don't you call me on the way back? I need to get another walk in and try and move this body. And I started to feel, I think when you left, I was feeling a bit crampy. And at this point, I started to kind of laugh a bit and go, whew, who knows, you know, because it was so much of a joke because I've had that thought so many fucking times up until this point.
Yeah.
When you're overdue, if anyone's been there, every day is like 3 weeks. Yeah. It's just the most bizarre time. I thought a 2-week wait in finding it whether you're pregnant was hard. This is a whole different kettle of fish. Different hard, similar hard, like level of hard, but different
yeah.
hard.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, you guys went and I started to waddle up the street to meet you guys at the beach.
Which is when I knew something was on, because when you said you wanted to meet up afterwards, I thought you meant we would just finish up and we would come home and meet you there. And then when we were like nearly home, you were there, like at the beach, and I was like, oh, hang on. What's happening here?
I felt like I was getting some movement and yeah. I wanted to keep it going. So I just yeah. got off the couch and started walking.
You didn't want to be on your
but
own.
But I was,
yeah.
well, no, it was more as well. I didn't mind. It was more, it was more that I wanted to try and make sure that it kept moving. Mm, like, because often if you haven't been in labor before.
Yeah, because you were like, let's get this baby out.
Yeah. If there's like, if you do feel some contractions, there are some ways for you to, you know, try and kind of get some momentum. But at the same time, you know, I did try that plenty of times and I feel like the baby's going to come when the baby's ready to come.
Yeah, yeah.
So at this point, I'd written a bit of a letter to Bryn and said, you know, I felt like I really need to be clear that through my work and through all different things that I do with my life that I was going to make sure I paid him attention. Like, I think he just needed one last little bit of comfort.
Yeah.
I had this sense in meditation that he was just like, Mum, you know, is there going to be undivided attention for me? And yeah. I just needed to give him a bit of love and... And when we decided to do the stretch and sweep,
he definitely needs that though as well.
Same. Yeah.
When you think about it, he's totally like that. He just demands your attention.
Yeah. And he won't. And he's a cute kid. He's pretty self sufficient, but he won't have that for forever. Mm. Like, he's quite clear on what his needs are. He's a very clear communicator.
He is. Yeah.
And so I kind of got a sense that he was holding off a bit. So I wrote him a letter and assured him that I would promise him that in my journal. And then on the stretch and sweep day, I said to Ben, I think we do need to do this. I think he just needs a bit of a hand.
Yeah.
What we later understood was he 100% needed a hand because he was so big that there was no way he was able to really maneuver himself out. Like,
himself,
he was stuck.
Yeah.
In a way. I don't want to use the word stuck, but it wasn't a lot of room to move for him.
He needed to see the light.
Yeah. So I met the boys and I had already downloaded a contraction app, which Ben thought was hilarious because he hadn't seen it until we kind of sat at the pub.
But it turned out to be very handy.
The pavilion is just a ginormous pub near our place that we spend a lot of time at.
Not at the moment.
No. But it was where we had lunch. The boys had a beer. And I was starting to count my contractions, and there were times where when the contractions came up, which at the time I didn't know if they were or not. You just, as a first-time mum, I didn't have any idea if that was something that was actually going to turn into labour or not. But I was counting them, and I did think to myself, oh, okay, I have to concentrate through them now. Like, I kind of can't keep having this, you know, being the talkative, joking, witty kind of banter person that I am.
Yeah.
I had to shut up, which was very different for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You had to go within, yeah.
I did. I wouldn't say within yet, but I just didn't have the breath to talk and kind of manage that. So then we had another friend that had just had a baby maybe a couple months before us come by and visit. They were going for a walk and we all sat.
That was a real sign, I reckon.
What
we were sitting there. That they just turned up.
Yeah.
And they were there.
Yeah,
that
it was like, quite weird.
Okay, we're on. Yeah.
And so my girlfriend was saying to me, she was watching me and she was like, I think you're on, babe. Like, I think this is happening. And then about maybe 40 minutes after that all started or I left the house, probably about an hour after, I said to Ben, I think I need to go. I started looking around at everyone and I started to think I can't be in public anymore. That's the first thing I thought.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I looked around and was like, I can't be around people.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Something's drawing me home.
Yeah.
It's time to go down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we came home and that's exactly what I did. I sat on the ground in the hallway and had a bit of a freak out as we called the midwives.
Yeah.
And
no,
Ben,
did we call the midwives or do we call Lizzie first?
We called our midwife to see what the go was.
Yeah.
And our midwife didn't answer. And unfortunately, the diversion on her phone wasn't working.
Yeah.
So no one got the message that I'd left and no one was answering because when the midwives, they all have two phones. When they're off, they will let the other one call out because they can't turn it off. It has to call out, so then it gets diverted to the person on call. But the diversion didn't work. She forgot to set it or something had happened.
I think she diverted it, but it didn't divert to a specific number.
Yeah, yeah. She said that's right. She forgot to put the number in. So it ended up being that we'd called our doula, Lizzie. This was probably about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday now, I'm thinking.
Yeah. Yep.
And Lizzie was like, okay, I'll just get some food. She was about to drop her daughter off at a sleepover, so it was kind of perfect for her. And she said, and then I'll make my way over. With us all thinking, we'll see where we're at, you know. By this point, Ben and I, we had our first and only, I guess, tense moment, really, between us. The thing that was helping me at that point through the contractions was Ben to do, it's like a massage on your back where at the top of your bum cheeks is like the lower bit of your back. But it's like that chubby bit right at the top of your bum. And by Ben pushing his hand, so having his like wrists on the outside of my bum and putting his hands in the middle, he would push the skin together was a technique that we learned to try and take the pressure off my hips, but also my stomach because I was getting that bad crampy feeling and it was just kind of diverting the attention away from it. It wasn't necessarily taking the pain away. And it felt like it really worked. And then Ben suggested that he might not be able to do that for very long.
I was like, should we get the TENS machine? Because I'm not sure I can do this all night. And then you just cracked it and went, yes, right. Well, I'm going to be doing this all night. So you'll be doing it too.
Yeah. I actually said, you are never to say that to me again.
Yeah. Every time you've told that story to a woman who's been at a birth or given birth, they're all just like, jeez, you fool.
But it's true.
Let's just not talk about that. Yeah.
You kind of crack it too when I tell the story, but it's such – I tell it not to kind of make you look like an idiot, but I tell it because of the power of that moment because from then on it was like game on. You just got it. It was like you had to have something and then you were on and did not leave me. And I mean that. I get emotional every time I think about it. You did not leave me, not just physically, but you were with me energetically every beat of the way. Yeah.
Again, that was just that fear before the surrender. That was a bit more the last spurt of fear coming up, you know?
Yeah.
But I think every bloke on the flip
enough,
side, I think.
You can kind of see that it was hurting your hands. Yeah. But in the big picture, you have to
you're
get
like, shut
perspective.
The fuck up. Fucking push. But I think, you know.
Did I ever say it like that?
No. Yeah, no, you
never
got
really
like that.
Went into this weird. I was worried.
Never
because,
turned into the demon lady, no.
Yeah, I was. Because I can't.
I was very calm.
Day.
The whole thing was very calm most of the time. But the only thing I was going to say is I think every bloke's got to have his at least one bumbling fool kind of moment. During the birth.
Have more, all understandable, you know. You've all got to go through what you've got to go through.
But you've never been through it before when you do your first.
Look, to be honest as well, you had done some incredible self-work. You'd worked with a coach probably for 6 weeks leading into the birth. So if you are a bloke listening and you are feeling like you have a bit of ego or you're still getting a bit frustrated or there's things that you need to work on personally, it would be so recommended for you to see a therapist or do some work on yourself leading into this process because that's going to help everybody. And if you're able to be as strong as Ben was, then you too can have a birth like we had. You know what I mean? Like there's a level of, I guess, certainty you need to have within yourself to be able to...
Yeah.
I mean this, it might sound a bit cocky, but in order to achieve what we achieve,
you've got
to have done the work.
It all just kind of timed out, though, for us. It's another one of those things where it was the right time. Everything happened at the right time. But I think it's where a lot of the surrender stuff came from for me was because I'd done a lot of work that was really based around deep emotional work about letting go of a lot of stuff. And I first went to him because... I knew I had a lot of emotional blocks from experiences in my past and that I had tried so many things and like I couldn't break them down. But then looking back at it in hindsight, that was where it all happened. It was all meant to help me surrender. It's like letting go of those things helped me then surrender the fears, you know, leading up to the birth and going through birth. And then the experience of surrendering in birth and having that feeling has helped me surrender the outcomes of other things that I'm searching for and trying to manifest in life.
I think it's important as well, because we are speaking about surrender, which we, I don't think we said in the last episode, that we both really worked with Lizzie on just clearing our birth stories and the experiences that we had been told from our parents about birth. So for
me, both of us had had pretty traumatic tales from our mums about our births.
Yeah, for me, mum had said that I was a ginormous baby, and big babies were not dangerous. She never used those words, but it was just essentially that that was a difficult birth for you to have a big baby. I was 9 pound 11 or 9 pound 9, I think, or something like that. And so I had to really get rid of the idea that big babies were not conducive to everybody and really start to adapt the idea and belief, which I do truly believe that our bodies, our babies are fit to be born to our body. So our, what's the saying? I think it's like your body can birth your baby.
Yeah,
you know, it's the two don't...
You won't grow a baby that you cannot birth.
Yeah, I, that's what I truly believe.
Yeah.
And I am proof of that.
Yeah.
But that just,
it's incongruent to what it's all about. You grow a baby to birth it. So your body would never grow something that you could never birth.
Like it doesn't make any sense. Size-wise, it goes against nature. So, and look, there are exceptions to the rule. Again, we're just going on our story. So I think, we both did a lot of work on getting rid of those things as well to make sure that when we moved into this phase, there was no fear of I guess, past experiences, our own stories, and anything else
mine
coming
was
pretty
horrific,
from
though. Like what I was told. Well, not horrific, but it was traumatic, should we say? I'm a twin, and my brother and I were both not complicated, but weren't straightforward. So my brother got stuck and he had to get forceps out, and then I came out second, and I was about to come out breech and I had to get turned around. And my mum, you know, we were born 15 minutes apart, so that was a really long time between the two of us.
So we're told. We don't really know if that's long or not.
Yeah. But back then, you know, she'd lost a lot of blood. It was at a different time. This is in the mid-70s. She'd lost a lot of blood, so you know, she was had a you know, fairly long recovery, and had told me that her dead grandmother was at the end of her bed or in the corner of the room in the hospital, saying, "It's not time yet, dear. It's not time yet."
So essentially, her story goes: I had boys, two twin boys, and had a near death experience.
So pretty traumatic. You know, when you get told that as a little boy, you're like, "What? I nearly killed my fucking mum."
Yeah.
Oh shit.
And I mean, I don't even think you consciously think of it like that, but the stories are just it's the repetition of the story, right? Like I can imagine mum saying, "Oh, Stacey was huge. It was shocking. 20-hour labour. Oh my god." Like, you know, and so
it's like a badge of honour, though. They're kind of like war stories, you know.
A little bit. And I wasn't interested in them at all. So we worked really hard on getting rid of those. So moving into this, we hadn't had any idea of how this was going to go, other than, again, repeating the same thing. We were going play by play. So the first, even when we had a hiccup and the midwife wasn't answering, it was never a problem for me.
No.
I really stayed.
Well,
I
had
was
Lizzie,
in contractions at this point. Lizzie was coming. And then it got to about 6 o'clock. Lizzie hadn't arrived yet. And I called the hospital because at this point I thought, oh, we don't really have any idea how fast or slow this is going to be. And so I called the hospital and they essentially said to me, if we can't get hold of any of your midwives, you're going to have to come in. Which meant that I would go to the emergency public, which wasn't even my midwife, because the midwife, if you get into the program, you've got a birthing center you can go to. And I just said to her, which was just such a ridiculous kind of panicked approach, because clearly we could get hold of one of the midwives. Like it wasn't, you know,
you were
no
fine.
One's
it was
not
she
going
was
to
the one
answer.
Panicked and she put that fear into you a little bit for a second. No, we're not.
Well,
not
no,
afterwards.
She didn't, Ben. Did you remember what I said
to
her?
Yeah, you just said, oh, no, I won't be doing that.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
And then I hung up the phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But she said, you'll need to, because you'll, you know, you'll need to be seen by someone. And I was like,
no, it's not
I won't be doing that. Yeah, I will wait to hear from my midwife. Yeah. Like, it was so early in the piece to kind of be like, come in. They don't even say that to people that are in labor, that call. It was just more of a reaction to the fact we couldn't get hold of anyone, you know? And then all she had to do was call someone. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then we got a call. So it was all good.
Well, she didn't want to give out the mobile number of one of the midwives, did she? And she said, I'll call her or something like that.
Yeah, and then I said to her, these are our numbers. We'll get in contact with you again and you can let us know how you've gone. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, I just left it at that. So then Lizzie arrived. We called. That's when I got a bit nervous and called Lizzie and said, how far away are you? Because we're not really having much luck with the midwives and I'd like someone at least to be here. So that's when you start to know – look, this is only kind of a few hours in, but you start to know your beats. So for me, I started to look at when I knew I needed to go to the next beat. And I don't know what beat means, essentially. More just, I guess, the next kind of phase, or I needed to elevate something. Something needed to change. There needed to be a beat change, essentially. Yeah. So I needed a new person in our home. I needed to I needed to have...
You need to go to the next gear.
That part. Yeah. So she came and that was great. And that was that worked until about midnight or 1 a.m. And each time I thought I needed to go to the next beat... you guys managed that quite smoothly.
But we were talking to the midwives, obviously.
Yeah,
talking
to Chauncey, the midwives the whole time.
Well, not we weren't necessarily talking to her. We were talking to Tilly.
Oh, were you?
And, yeah, on the phone, and that's when Lizzie was giving updates. She was the one that was talking to Tilly, because I would talk to Tilly. She's like, "How's Stace going?" And then she's like, "Actually, Ben, can I talk to Lizzie?" Because she, and that's when I knew that's fine. You know, Lizzie knows exactly what's going on here. So Lizzie would leave the room.
Right.
And then they would talk about what's going on, because you'll be like, you were like, I need the midwife here. I need someone here. And then she would go out and she's like, well, we don't want to come yet, because they have their own plans when they should be here, because they don't want to, you know, change the natural timeline of things.
Yeah, which is amazing.
Because it changes, it can change a mindset, and then that can start changing things and making things happen in a different way. Yeah. So they hold off a lot of the time because they really want it to happen naturally.
Yeah, it was incredibly done. It really was, like every step of the way. And, you know, and I just trusted Lizzie. I trusted you. Yeah. I knew that if I really
Lizzie
put
was
my
great.
Foot down.
Like, you literally cannot, yeah.
Yeah, we can't fault her. And I knew that if I really put my foot down, someone would be there.
Yeah.
I felt
she was very
so
confident.
Supported.
Very confident.
I felt so supported. Mm. I get emotional just thinking about a time in my life where I've ever felt that supported. Mm. Like, I just felt like I was lying on a cloud of people that were just there for
me. That's what you need as a mum who's about to, or a woman who's about to deliver a baby. Yeah.
So we had that. So Lizzie, she facilitated that. I do remember talking to Tilly now laying down. So at this point, we were birthing predominantly in our bedroom. I remember. Is that where we kind of – Lizzie was saging the room, and I have these kind of snapshots of coming in and out of contractions and just seeing her kind of float around. We had all salt lamps on. We had a bit of music in the background. Every room was very dim. It was very dark. Mm. My midwives laughed and called it a bit of an opium den.
Yeah. I think we actually made our way to the living room initially. We got there and then we moved our way back to the bedroom for a little while. And then I think we were there.
That
then we moved
way
to the living
later.
Room. And then we came back in when Lizzie said you guys should try and get a nap or something.
No. That was – you've skipped like 10 hours. Mm. So we were in the bedroom before Chaunce got here. We were in the bedroom. And when she got here, we were in the bedroom.
She was sitting in the hallway, yeah.
So we did a lot of our labor from probably about 8 o'clock till about midnight in the bedroom.
Yeah.
Where we were – I think I might have had a shower in between there and done a big ultimate mega spew.
Oh, yeah, that was
Where
huge.
Was the spew?
I was
bucket.
In the bedroom.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, we were in the bedroom for a fair bit of time.
Yeah.
And so basically it was just – I laid down for a bit of it, which I was a bit worried that it would slow things down.
Yeah.
But then Lizzie was said she just would constantly come back and say, it's going to take as long as it's going to take. So just do whatever you need to do to be comfortable.
Yeah.
And I was just – we were kind of in a bit of a spooning position. position, essentially. Yeah. You were just laying behind me.
I just had my hand on your lower back.
Yeah. That's... And were you like doing anything when I was in contractions at that point, or was I just breathing through it?
I think you were just breathing through it. I just had my hand on your lower
yeah,
back.
Yeah, I just was in the zone.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how you can describe that from your, like, watching me or where I was from your point of
yeah,
view.
Yeah, you were very, very inwardly focused. I don't want to say you'd gone internal because you weren't. You were very aware of what was going on around the outside, but you were very inwardly focused. And it was honestly, that's like watching someone who's like doing breath work or meditation. You're focused on your own body and noticing what's going on and doing what you need to go through those moments.
I just trusted my body so much. I just, yeah. again, like I said in the first part of this episode, I wanted to see what it would tell me. I didn't try to be ahead of it. And every time I thought of a question or something came up that may have made me feel like I had to alert something or bring any energy higher than yep. it needed to yep. be, yep. I would really question whether it needed to be said. Because if anything yep. was going to take me out of this groove, it had to be fucking worth it because yeah. the groove was working. I was yeah. in pain. It was difficult, but it wasn't at the same time. I was managing it really beautifully yeah. and well, it felt that's like I was in a groove. Yeah. So I was making very serious decisions yeah. about what was worth bringing me out of that groove. So if I wanted to move to the shower or move to another room, I had to make fucking sure
yeah.
that I was ready to do that because yeah. I didn't want to get out of this
yeah.
this kind of higher groove energies. I found my energy in and wanted to stay super low.
Yeah, I think that's full credit to you though, as you as a person who's quite often in touch with their higher energies and their higher self, that you were able to do that for most of the time. You didn't get pulled down, you know, going, stop it, it's painful, that kind of stuff, you know. It was
because that brings you out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of and that's what you mean when you yelled. Then it sounds lower, like your voice, yeah. but it's actually raising your energy level yeah. high.
Yeah.
And I knew high to me in my experience means heady, anxiety, chesty, jilted, bit skitty, yeah. a bit nervy. Anything. I just saw anything going high would take me to any of those places, which is the fucking opposite of what you need to deal with the surges yeah. and the intensity yeah. of what's coming your
relaxed
way.
Relaxed and calm in your higher energies, not heightened in your lower energies.
Yeah, but even using the word higher energy, I couldn't even say I was in a higher energy. I think I wasn't even in touch with my higher self. My higher self was in me.
Right, yeah, okay.
I feel like everything came down.
Yeah, yeah.
So even when I meditate and I feel like I have a line of energy that meditates up through the top of my head, right the way down through my pelvis, all the way down throughout the soles of my feet, so it's very long and it's everlasting.
Yeah.
Even that wasn't like that. I kind of saw it as like a light that was guiding me, but it was like everything just came into my body for this experience.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
But that nothing makes sense was to me as well. Out of me. Everything yeah. became in me. I was yeah. transforming with higher energy, lower energy, things that were here, things that aren't here. Everything was all coming into unison for this
yeah,
experience.
Yeah, well, I think that resonates with me. Definitely the higher energies coming down, because that's what I experienced later on. Mm. Absolutely. Mm.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So, yeah, so I was laying down for a lot of it, which was really surprising because I found it really kind of calming and just like I felt safe in our bed and I felt Now that I think back and look at that, I feel so privileged that we were in our own bed. I was on Ben's side, which was interesting. And I just felt
that's
it was
where that
near
salt
the
lamp
salt
wants.
Lamp is, yeah. And that's what Bryn still loves till this day. Just loves looking at it in the mornings when we have a cuddle and a feed.
We call him a little glow worm because he gets up.
We don't turn the lights on. Yeah. We just turn the salt lamp on just to wake him up slowly.
Yeah.
And he has a feed every morning and we just have a little cuddle. It's interesting. We're thinking about doing some work or going back to sunrise or something and it's an early start. I can't imagine breaking that little routine we have now. It's so special. Ben gets the coffees and he sometimes jumps back into bed if he's not hectic in his head about work and we'll have a cuddle like we did this morning. Anyway, so we were basically doing that up until this point. So Chaunce came and Chauncey is this kind of how do you explain Chaunce? This energy that is almost like in a person, the energy I just explained. She's grounded. Yeah. She's so in it, but she's fun and light at the same time and so respectful, reads the play like a fucking captain.
Yeah.
But at the same time is 100% responsive to what's going
on. Looks at the possibilities and not the roadblocks,
and just
so
patient for the beats, you know, waiting for the beats. So she came probably about 1 a.m. at this point. I think that's when you started to leave to get her a park, or was that?
I went outside to meet her. Like she
found
a park.
See, I remember these things because I remember you having to go. Yeah. Now that's a bit of a point for me because that means we stepped out of my grounded bubble.
So it was just you and Lizzie. But she had found a park, and then I just went outside to meet her because she didn't know where we were.
Yeah, right.
She was up the street.
Right, so up the hill a bit further.
She was up the hill.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. And so when you guys came in, I think I was still in the bedroom? Would you remember where I was?
Maybe the lounge room? Not sure where you were when we came.
Because I remember
I think you would have been in the bed. You were in the bedroom.
Lizzie was in there. She was sitting on the floor with me. Yeah. That's right.
Because Chauncey came in and she never really went past the bedroom. She was sitting in the hallway doing
her
work on the laptop.
So the bedrooms at
the paperwork.
Yeah, the bedrooms at the beginning of our house. So she came in and sat down. So we'd been in labour roughly from about 3 o'clock Sunday afternoon, and this was about 1 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning. Lizzie tells me now that she thinks I was in I was really only in active labour from probably about 11 o'clock at night, and Lizzie stayed with us until Bryn was born the whole time. She was here from about 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And so...
Earlier maybe, even.
Yeah, right. No, I think it was... I remember that because it was like around dinner.
Oh, we called her at around 4 or 5. Yeah.
And so Chaunce came, and which was great for Lizzie because it just also meant she could just not relieve her, but just there was other support. Yeah. Everyone had a different role.
Yeah.
But she's working through the night, you know, it's pretty intense. And so, again, that made me feel happy for her and just everybody was kind of looked after. And Chaunce sat in the hallway. So the door was opened. I could see her, but she was just a step out.
Yeah.
So it was like she was this beautiful comfort that was there.
Yeah.
And I remember asking you a question again.
She knows that that's the kind of human being she is. She knows full well what her presence is.
Does. Yeah.
And that's a sign of a in tune human being.
Almost like a
when
healer.
They're aware of what their energy creates for other people.
Yeah.
Empathy.
Yeah. Just that calm.
Yeah.
She's just that calm. Almost like a doorstop. She was in there sitting next to the doorstop, but just that she's holding you.
Yeah.
But if you pull the door anyway, get too deep in the fucking
analogy. We could go into the metaphor,
And so I remember asking you a question about the first time I really spoke in what would have been 8 hours, 6, 7 hours. I was speaking, but where I asked a question about the birth, I would just do small talk about other stuff. But I remember saying to Ben, what happens if 12 hours is up and then the midwives have to change over? Because I think I started to get nervous at that.
Yeah.
That Chaunce was here and I thought, imagine I still have to go further than this. And then she goes. Just was a thought that came in my head, came up a few times and I thought, okay, I'm going to ask
you
this.
You mentioned it. Yeah.
And then sure enough, before you even were able to answer it, she just comes into the room and answers it for us.
Yeah,
and she was like, I'm not going anywhere, just so you know, don't worry about that. I'm here.
Yeah.
And then left the room again. Yeah. It was like... They just were there, so you didn't have to worry about that. You didn't give me any information that was not going to support me. She just wanted to tell me she was going to be with me the whole way and that she was. And so then I guess we moved into the lounge room. things were kind of moving, but they weren't. I think at about 5 o'clock in the morning, I started to say, okay, maybe we might want to think about checking where I'm at. Now, yeah. If you haven't had a birth or you're not pregnant or whatever, there's a time where you can start to see how far dilated you are. Not if you go, if you go in the real bloody natural way like we went, generally you try not to have that conversation just because it can get in your, I guess, your mental. It takes you out of things again and it starts to ask questions.
Or it can change the game for you mentally. You're like, oh, shit, okay, I'm here. I need to work towards this. I need to change things. I need to do something. Yeah.
So I decided that it was going to – I was in the position to look at it as a positive either way. I thought to myself, if I'm at a certain point, if I'm lower, less than 5 centimetres, so you need to be – is it, what, 10 centimetres before you have a baby?
Yeah.
If I was less than 5, which is less than halfway and really only 2 centimetres from where I was.
But things can change rapidly, yeah?
Yeah, but this is where I was saying my headspace was at.
Yeah.
I thought to myself, I'm going to look at both ways positively. If I'm less than 5, then it means we go and have a sleep.
Yeah.
And just kind of then bunker down and get ready for tomorrow.
Yeah.
I.e. a couple hours. Like you couldn't really sleep with contractions. But if I was like, 7, maybe it's time for us to get some momentum and stay up and really bring this home. So, i.e. momentum, change positions, start to use different ways.
Yeah.
And I ended up – and so she didn't tell me exactly what I was, but she said you are over – she said you're 5. Yeah. You're over 5. She didn't really give me the language, did she?
No.
I forget what she said.
I
was basically halfway.
She said she said – no, I think that was the thing. She said, if you're over 5, I'll just say you're over 5. I won't tell you exactly what it is or whatever.
Yeah, right. So she said, you're over.
Yeah.
She said, she kind of made it like you're just over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we decided to have a quick nap anyway.
Well, I think Lizzie said it would be maybe a good idea if you have a quick 20-minute nap or a half an hour nap.
Yeah, it felt like I think we went to sleep for about an hour
No, I think we only went to sleep for about half an
hour. Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Shit, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck, it felt like it was starting to get intense, I think, at that point.
Yeah.
So then we woke up. The sun was coming up and I remember having the thought to myself, this will not go till the dark again.
Yeah, yeah.
I was determined. And I get emotional thinking about it. Like, we're in our home too. We weren't in this room at all because it's my work room and where I work. So I just didn't – we didn't bring the birth into this room.
Yeah.
But I just remember feeling that. I feeling just this – it wasn't determination like an ambition. It was determination of like this – this force in me that kind of was with Bryn, like that was we were both going to do this together. That wasn't just about me and needing to go for a job or go for this.
Yeah.
It was something different. It was like, we're going to make this happen today, you know?
It was about bloody time.
But it was just also, it wasn't like, it wasn't really aggressive. Like, I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
It felt more like, I don't know, just like, a sense of knowing too. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't so much about an aim. It was more a combo between the intention but then the knowing of it was going to happen. It was weird.
Yeah.
So then I started to do some standing up positions in his room, in the nursery, in the front of the house.
After we woke up.
Were having some muesli. Lizzie fixed you some breakfast, which was a big relief for you because you forgot you hadn't really eaten. I was starting to talk again. I'd had a bit of a – I was a bit back to like
chatty. It really did feel like a new stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I wanted that, I think. Like I wanted us to have – the girls went to – had a bit of a nap in the lounge room.
Yeah.
I remember being the one to wake up and walk around and just was looking at them sleep and, like, just taking it all in a bit at this point.
Because we woke up and I woke up and I walked into the kitchen and I walked past and Lizzie was asleep on one couch and Chauncey was asleep on the other. But, like, in that kind of half asleep, half awake. And they both kind of woke up and then that's when we were in the front room and we started again,
And they just kind of came in. Lizzie came in first, I think, made you some brekkie. Then she left. Chaunce came in and said, okay, how you got your feeling? And and then we did some other positions and I think she did something in there. Maybe she did the heartbeat in there. So she's checking. And the interesting thing about this was every step of the way, Chauncey kind of did the heartbeat.
All the time, though. She was checking it all the time. Never really
knew she was doing it. She was just so, so incredible.
So subtle.
Yeah. And also it was subtle because Bryn was subtle too. Like his heartbeat was consistent and stable the entire way. There was never a time where he also went to that high energy. Yeah, he was just in the low with me, this real calming space. So then I think I might have had another shower and it started to feel different. Things just started to be a bit more uncomfortable. I don't know if it was like I was getting tired or what. Mm. We were in the lounge room and I think there was a few times in this part where I couldn't quite get my position.
Yeah.
Which was starting to feel a bit funny. We checked my waters and I could sense that there was starting to be a bit of a when are we going to get here? Like, when are we going to move things?
Yeah.
So we did another check. I think it was probably about 10 o'clock or something, or maybe 9, I don't know. And we thought my waters broke, but they hadn't. So we thought that there may have been a bit of water breakage. And so then we ended up breaking them.
Yeah.
Just to kind of get things going.
Yeah.
And from there, things got going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It really accelerated.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So water was gushing out of me in our lounge room.
Yeah.
When I say hospital quality drop sheets, fuck, they are incredible. I cannot get over how much liquid was in our lounge room and kitchen. And then they just took everything with them and it was like our house again.
Yeah.
It was like we never gave birth. And that's another thing they do. They do all of that. They packed everything up. It was all clean. I was moving around slowly, but I was.
Yeah.
And so I remember their water just coming out of me in the lounge room thinking, there's no way that drop sheet's catching all this.
Mm.
I just – because you feel so vulnerable as well in those moments. You're like, I can't move. I can't move my body.
Yeah.
And I am basically – it's not even pissing. It's like a whole other level. Yeah. You just feel so vulnerable because you can't take yourself – to go to the bath or the toilet. Mm. It's just a very weird feeling. Imagine you just having piss come all out of you in an area where you do not just piss on the carpet.
Yeah, no,
so those things started to get a bit weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like where I was like, fuck, okay. And my body started to show, like it was starting to, you know.
Yeah.
So then the pool started to be filled and I was in pain, you know. People say, oh, it's surges or whatever, but no, it was really starting to hurt. I was just starting to it was
you never harder. Showed that though I, you never showed that you were in pain really no not from what I remember
I maybe discomfort pain's maybe not, but yeah maybe pain's not the word, but it was definitely at a point where I felt like it was harder for me to stay in that groundedness. So it was bringing me up and I was finding hard to stay on top of my fear, you know, my scare. And my fear at this time was building. And when we got into the pool, I certainly had that, which was my transition, which is classic. Yeah. Everybody has their fear and you build to crescendo almost.
Crescendo, yeah.
You build to crescendo where it's like, I can't do this. And I had the classic that.
Yeah.
So it was building to that. So it was taking me out of the energy and it needed to, because that's where you start to push, right?
Yeah.
So it was building. And it was just more, I couldn't get that, I couldn't concentrate anymore. So it was, I was nervous about that, because you're nervous that you don't know when it's going to move to pushing. So how long are you going to be needing to fight yourself a bit where you're, are you surrendering yet, or are you still trying to bring yourself back in?
Yeah.
Like that was the battle
again,
for
me. You were doing all of this internally though. This was never expressed outwardly, except like, you know, once we got into the pool and there were, you know, when we were, you know, coming up to game time.
I think I was I wanted to vomit a few times though in this point. I don't think
I don't think you did. No, you only vomited earlier on, but no.
I think I vomited twice, babe. One time in the lounge room. You're right. Okay. Yeah. And so that was pretty full on as well, like for a lot of people. I felt much better. I felt like it was a purging for me.
Yeah.
I remember Chauncey saying, sorry that happened. And I didn't say this because I didn't have the energy or I wasn't saying anything at the time. But in my head, I was like, oh, no, it was the best. Because it was just
Well, that's what the whole process is about, isn't it? About letting go.
And I just didn't. Releasing. I needed to get the liquid out. He was so big. My body was trying to get rid of everything that we could have.
Yeah.
So then we finally hopped in the pool, which would have been about, I don't know, maybe 11?
Yeah.
I don't think I was in the pool for longer than 2 hours. We were pretty crinkly though, weren't we?
Which is what they do like when you have a home birth, or I'm assuming they do it when they're in the hospital with the water birth, is they don't want you in that pool too early, because as soon as you do get in the pool, it can kind of slow things down if you're not ready.
It does relax you as soon as you get in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But look, it relaxed us. We both got in. I couldn't quite find a position, but then also I don't know if there was ever going to be a position that I was comfortable in because I was starting to transition, which meant that I was really freaking out at this point.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So we got in. And I started to feel intensity. Intensity is the best word, really. It was more intense than it was pain.
Yeah.
It
was energy. This is where you were the most vocal in the whole process.
Yeah.
And strangely, this is where I felt the most calm.
Right.
Like, this is where you felt the most intense. This is where I felt the most calm.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like drugs. So, I feel like if you've taken drugs before and you may have had a bad pill or you've taken, you know, like you've taken something and it's bringing you kind of to this high and you start to feel a high, especially for the first time you've ever done it. It's a rush. Yeah. I started to get this. This is what started to build momentum. You started to feel that rush where you need to breathe through it to kind of make sure you don't freak yourself out.
Well, rush, that's what it is. So by nature, isn't it? A rush happens so quickly that it comes up. It's like, holy shit, I'm slipping out of control here. Where's this going?
Yes,
where's this taking me? I'm out
so
of control.
You've got to breathe, 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 which is exactly the way I feel.
Breathing is what you are in control of.
Yeah. And also, but it levels you somehow, the breath.
Yeah.
It brings you back into your body because a lot of that is rush. So it goes, and a lot of it's driven by your thoughts. You know, so it's easy for that intensity to take you somewhere else.
Yeah.
So in the water was helping with that, but at the same time, the rushes started to get, that's exactly what I should call them, rushes, because that's what they felt.
Yeah.
The rushes started to get, and I've got no problem saying pain, but it really doesn't, it doesn't equate to the same kind of pain, you know, if you stub your toe or you do something like that. It is different, but it was painful in a way. But I think what was more painful was not so much the physicality, but the fear around the rushes of that feeling.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right.
So I started to freak out at how strong they were coming on. And I think for me, as I tried to calm myself back down, I was really struggling to get some calm in between the contractions to, well, they say rest in between contractions, but at that point, God, I was, what, 30 seconds in between at this point, or a minute, if that. And so they would have been, maybe they would have been a minute long and I was 30 seconds apart or something, do you reckon?
Yeah.
Or a minute long, a minute apart?
I can't remember.
They weren't, I definitely didn't feel like I was getting as much break as they were long. Could have been about even. But I wasn't really calming. I wasn't finding an ability or a groove to calm myself down in between.
Yeah.
So for about half an hour to 40 minutes, or maybe if it was an hour, I felt like it was one long contraction because I couldn't quite get into that calm space in between the contractions. So just as I started to kind of come off the last one and calm myself, it was starting again. And I would say things to Ben like, it's coming again, it's coming again.
Yeah.
I don't want it to come, I don't want it. Like,
I was saying, just one at a time, one at a time.
So that only went for really an hour. It felt like a really long time. And then I started to eye lock with people. This is where it got really intense. So I remember eye locking with
–
it was Chaunce first? No, it was Lizzie first. And I think Lizzie had to leave in the end because she was probably –
It was too intense.
Yeah, I was just basically staring at her in the eye and just said to her she cannot not look at me. It was like, who's going to blink first? One of those games, except it wasn't consensual.
Yeah.
Lizzie didn't want to do it probably. So, but she did it. And then she left and then Chaunce came and then I locked with her. And then as I came out of this last contraction, it was just like I wanted them to be with me every breath of that way.
Yeah.
I just wanted to not feel alone.
Yeah.
And that I knew they had seen this before. So I felt like, okay, they know.
You were comfortable
they
with
know
them.
I'm going to be out of this. I trust them. But for some reason, I hadn't looked to you yet.
No.
And Chauncey said to me, why don't next time you try eye locking with Ben? And this was the moment for me that changed everything. You know, I remember feeling so scared that you would be scared too.
Yeah.
And that when I looked into your eyes, I would see the fear I felt.
Yeah.
I was scared, and that would be so normal because I'd heard so many stories about husbands crying or freaking out or whatever.
Yeah,
and
I
was just, it wasn't something I'd be annoyed at, but I didn't think I could handle it because I felt so frightened at that point.
Yeah.
And unsure how long I could do this for. I started to freak at that point. The only time I freaked at control was when at this point I wasn't sure how long this part would go for. That was the scariest part for me. How long is this going to last? So then I tried.
Which when you have a home birth, it's like this is it. You ride it out.
Well, I don't have. There's no drugs coming for me.
So you've got to ride the wave.
Yeah, and I said, I remember, I didn't say do. What did I say? I want to go to the hospital. What did I say? I said I just want to be somewhere else.
No, but I think you did ask the question about, you know, can what happens? Can we go to the hospital if we need to? And it's like not anymore. Mm. No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did have that, which is what they say the transition is when you start to have a bit of crisis of confidence.
I can't do this. I can't do this. Yeah.
And I did. I started to say, nap. And that's when Lizzie was great.
She was like, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
And then she kept saying, you're doing it.
Yeah.
This is it. You're already doing it. And I now know what she means. But at the time I was like, oh, I never even thought like, she's stupid or that's fucked. Or I was never aggressive. It was just more like, oh. You know, just like that's not even a response. Yeah. Like, this is the
only time that you got intense, really.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And so then I ended up looking at Ben, and your eyes, were just piercing blue, so clear, so confident.
Mm.
But what I saw in you was this. It was almost like you mirrored my strength back at me.
Yeah.
Like you were kind of in awe.
Yeah. I think I was 100% in awe. Like I was, and that's what I say about the birth. It wasn't, you know, that, you know, a lot of blokes say, oh, that was, you know, that was just such a magical time. The first time I saw my baby, I fell in love immediately. For me, it was like I fell in love with you even more strongly or in a new way, because it was like I felt, like it was an absolute blessing to be a part of that. Like it was like and it still is the most special moment in my life. And I, you know, I felt this great force, this great presence in the room at that time that was just so calming for me. It was so powerful, yet so calming. And, you know, when I look back on it or think about it, you know, that was the presence of my dad and my angels and people like that, and your angels as well. Like they were all there in the room going, just wanting to be there, going, bringing this little spirit baby into the world. It was a truly magical.
And we had that confirmed, like my healer who's been on my podcast, Michael Trembath, several times came quite close after the birth, and he went into the kitchen to just wanted to experience the energy.
Mm.
He's an energy healer, and he said, wow, there's still people hanging out in there. Like it's pretty magic in there right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty untouched.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't really hung out in the kitchen much after we had Bryn. So once I saw Ben, and I got that, and he counted me through everything. So it was just, you said to me, one at a time, one at a time. And I found myself coming back into my body again. The freak ended. And then just like that, like just like the click of the fingers as I really started to feel myself come back in, I'm like, I've got a push.
Because both Cheryl and Chauncey were in the other room.
Cheryl had arrived by this point, so she was in the lounge room. Yeah, she was just like, it was cool for her to be there too. I was like almost like wanted to impress her. Not impress her. I just wanted to make her proud.
Yeah, and in a conversation like well after that, days after that, they had said that they were standing in the living room going, oh, we're going to be here for a while.
A little bit longer, yeah.
And then they heard Stace do that and go, oh, okay, we're on.
Yeah, and I was. It felt like, what did I say? It felt like an entire skyscraper had started to come down through me. I will never, ever, ever forget that feeling. And I will never forget. And I now, thinking about that feeling, don't think there's ever been anything I'm prouder of experiencing. Because I just thought, I have had a building, the equivalent of a building come through me.
Yeah.
In terms of energy and a baby.
And then that's when things started to happen really quickly after that. And it was only like another 45 minutes after that, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, pushing,
And
it was a bit stop-start. Like I think with a baby, first-time baby, you've got to kind of direct them through. There was definitely a few moments we changed positions a bit. So I was leaning over the edge of the pool. Ben hopped out. Ben hopped back in.
And then I was like kicking back and then you were lying in front of me, on me. And then that's when I was looking down and I could see his...
So I was leaning. So just for anyone that's interested in the real birth, like I used to listen to the birth details to a T. I was leaning back and my pelvis was slightly kind of... I had my legs out, you know, kind of clasped, my feet kind of clasped together. Or one was kind of faced, my right leg was faced the other side. And I don't know how to explain it. I was kind of like this.
So oh, yeah. What's that? It's like a yoga position.
So the left
like
leg.
Like a hip opener to some degree.
Kind of. But the left, yeah. My right foot was on my left knee and then my left foot was facing the other way. So if you're a dancer, it's like fifth position or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right.
You
just make that up, fifth position?
No, there's like positions, standing positions and sitting positions.
5, 6, 7, 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Yeah, so I was kind of new from my working with my Chinese doctor and my, you know, my guru witch lady, Megan, and friend. She was saying to me that my right side of my pelvis was more flexible, which has always been the way because I am a dancer and my right side has always been more flexible.
You're right-handed, yeah.
So she said that, you know, just you can kind of maneuver them out that way. And all of a sudden I just remembered that and just kind of moved my body. And Chez reckons at some point she was looking at me going, what's she kind of doing there? And she thought, am I going to kind of intervene here and just give her a bit of a tip? And then she goes, no, this bitch knows what she's doing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I did. So I was kind of moving my hips around a bit to get him out. And I remember the moment where, you know, I was pushing and I was getting really
vocal.
And I
could see his head coming out. Like I was looking like over your shoulder down and I could see and I was like, is that his head? Is that his head? And I'm like, yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And they kept saying to me, look, Stacey. And I was like, nah.
No.
I just, you know, I had been so conscious and into it the whole way and I was like, nah, I'm not interested. I just need to stay focused here. I didn't feel separate to him in that time, but I also did. I felt like I'm here to do a job and everyone is counting on me to get this done.
Yeah.
I can't emotionally invest right now. I'm busy. Like I did feel a bit, the pushing part was very, very boss for me. Mm. Like, I don't know what the word is, but it wasn't this spiritual kind of whatever energy. It was like, now I know what I need to do. I need to flex my hip out. I need to breathe. Mm. I need to trust that my perineum is going to stretch.
Mm.
I need to just push and I need to listen. Because the girls were kind of saying, all right, now push, now don't. I just need to fucking concentrate.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, I'm not looking. That's a distraction and I'm not going to get emotional
here. Yeah, I understand that completely.
So I didn't, you know. And maybe my next birth I might. And I might be in a different place because I'll know what to expect.
You needed to concentrate. You didn't want any distractions.
No.
Yeah.
And I absolutely probably couldn't have because he was such a big baby. So I moved and I just remember thinking, I remember feeling like, what's that feeling? I'm trying to explain to anyone listening what it feels like to push a baby out of your vagina that big. It kind of feels like if you're to do this funny face.
I wouldn't know.
I'm trying to explain it to you now. If you're to do this funny face like this.
Oh, yeah. Pulling your cheeks out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like you think if you're feeling so tight. you're gonna split the corner of your lips. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's
the real tiny,
delicate
skin part.
Yeah.
Like, think about that. Yeah. That's the first thing you think's gonna rip.
Yeah, yeah.
You think that, right?
Wow. Yeah.
But I remember you're getting a bit squeamish, and you were there.
Well, yeah, it's intense. I can understand that the
analogy,
the forces on your skin.
Yeah, yeah, and it's
through that analogy.
And when they say it's stretchy, it is, but it doesn't necessarily feel like what you are used to thinking stretchy is.
Yeah,
so stretchy to me is like an elastic band.
It's a new kind of stretchy.
Yeah, and so because we did the perineum massage, it was definitely the thing that helped me in this stage most because I knew what that felt like.
Yeah.
So when Ben put his hands inside me and stretched out the perineum, it wasn't a shock to me when it happened.
Yeah.
And that is what I think was absolutely the testament to having no tears. And yes, I did not tear, which is an absolute... You can say it's a miracle, but then it also isn't because we worked our asses off to try and make it happen.
How big he was when he was born. So you've got to put it in context.
Well, so we didn't. So I remember thinking, okay, I've had this feeling before. It's going to keep stretching. And even if it rips a little bit or whatever,
yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. It'll just stretch as far as it can.
Yeah.
You know, I kept telling myself, because you almost feel like you're ready to hear it.
Yeah.
That's how close that you feel it's coming to tearing, right?
Yeah.
But I just kept going, it will stretch as far as it can.
Yeah.
Like, we've done as everything we could do in our physical power.
Yeah.
And I just kept breathing and I just kept being patient, because what I started to realize that I didn't know before I gave birth was contractions kind of become a force in themselves. So if you push and work with the contraction coming on and don't push before or after, it will almost help you. It's almost like jumping on the wave.
Yeah. Oh, that's what they were saying.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I didn't realize you push. So the contractions don't stop in pushing.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get that. I thought pushing was separate to contractions.
Yeah, wow.
Contractions still come.
Yeah.
You push with
them. That's like Mother Nature right there, isn't it? Like catching a wave, like the ocean. It's like
working with it.
Yeah, working with it. It's Mother Nature in control and you got to work with her.
Yeah. But don't fight her either.
Yeah.
Don't try and get in amongst it, in between.
Yeah.
And that's why I think when intervention comes in and they're like, push now!
Yeah.
And you're not in a contraction.
Yeah.
You're working against fucking nature. Look, I'm sure there's reasons why people have to do it sometimes, but I didn't know one was in any rush for me. I was just in my kitchen.
Yeah.
So anyway, we ended up pushing and it was like two steps forward, one step back, two steps forward. And I remember thinking to myself, all right, I'm going to push 20 more times. And if it doesn't come out, I'm out of here. Like, I just would tell myself funny things like that. Like, well, I would say it in my head.
That was him getting you ready. It was him pushing, going, okay, it's not time to come any further.
No, babe, it was him slowly stretching me so I could handle it.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
It wasn't, he was ready. He was doing the exact right thing he was supposed to do. Because the slower you take it, the more you're stretching every time. And I kept telling myself, okay, he will come when you are stretched enough.
Yeah.
And I just trusted that. So then we pushed and he got a bit stuck. So I started pushing. They were like, okay, we're getting really close here. We're getting really close. One more time. And I went a bit more quiet as opposed to, and we filmed it. So I'm like, literally like this.
Yeah.
Like really inward.
Yeah.
And he came out. I got his head out.
Yeah.
And then he got stuck.
You had to stand up though, yeah?
Yeah. So then they started to freak a little bit and they're like, okay, Stacey, we're going to need you to stand up. And then it got pretty fast, pretty quick. And she was like, I might just need to put my hand up. And I was like, do whatever the fuck you need to do.
Yeah.
But never did I think he wasn't okay.
No.
Never did I think, how's his heart? But it was just all fine.
Yeah. It was a minor stressful moment. I think if you had followed my heartbeat, it probably would have gone up a little bit. But I was never really – I wasn't worried. It was just
– I agree, and I did feel the pressure
that
time. I thought I just remember
looking back,
get him out.
And I saw Chauncey's face, and she was a little bit more serious.
Yeah, and also I think she – we had – I mean, that was just a testament, though, to having both of them there, like Chez with all this experience, Chaunce with less home births, you know, and Lizzie being the doula. It was just a – I just felt like – we were protected no matter what. And Chez looked like she was starting to instruct Chaunce a bit more, but she still didn't look worried necessarily.
No,
it was just more like, okay, now we're going to need to instruct some things, you know. So then they pulled they kind of had to slither they thought his shoulder was stuck, which was what is classic.
Which what normally happens.
Yeah, but actually his shoulders then came out.
Yeah.
And was it his back fat or his arm fat?
It was his back fat.
Right, his back fat actually got stuck.
Yeah.
And so once they were able to grab the fold of his skin in the back crack of his neck, he slid out. And I had quite a short umbilical cord, so we sat back down and we met our baby boy, Bryn.
Yeah.
At 1:19 p.m. on Monday, the 20th of January.
Yeah.
He is a Capricorn, the last day of Capricorn. I knew he would be.
Yeah.
And what was that moment like for you?
I just started bursting into tears. I was like, even before that, though, I was a little bit like, I got emotional before he even came out. I was crying a little bit.
Mm.
But yeah, when he came out, I couldn't contain my emotion.
It was so nice.
It was, and I think that's also, there is, you know, as much as I say, you know, I'm calm and relaxed the whole time, and which I was, I had surrendered, but there's still some level of stress that sits in there in your body. It's inevitable. You know, you want to meet your baby, and you don't want anything, you know, you want him to have 10 fingers and 10 toes and all that kind of stuff. So when you're told that he does and that he's a beautiful baby boy, you just get really upset, you know. You're like, it's a massive relief. And I remember looking at him and, yeah, he was just cute as. And that all happened so quickly and you're processing so much in the moment. You're like, holy shit, I'm a dad. He's okay. He's healthy. You're not really thinking much beyond that point, but, you know, it's just so magical. You don't have any words.
I'm forgotten again.
Yeah. But then yeah, you had to birth a placenta. So then it's very, very quick that the kind of, as the father, the baby gets kind of handed to you for a little bit, cleaned up a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I was just sitting with him in the living room and I was just like, this is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was cool. Yeah, yeah. It was so cool to see real unfiltered emotion from you and a man, mostly, and just like sheer joy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think, Ben, you've worked so hard to have the joy you have, and I think I'm a bit the same. We've both always had to work pretty hard at getting the good in our lives.
Yeah,
it's just not been, and it's I don't regret any of it, but it's not been an easy road necessarily.
Been handed,
and not that I felt like
That's when you enjoy those rewards that much more, when you've had to work hard to get them.
But I don't think, I don't look at the birth as working hard either. I just felt like,
or when you've had to go through a lot to get them.
Yeah, but I felt like your tears were finally just joy without anything else.
Yeah.
You know, even though we did unrestrained do an epic birth. Yeah, there was just this, we've been given this blessing because we're lucky and we get to have this child. Different to other people, but it's not just a child.
Yeah.
You were crying because you met your child. Yeah,
and it beautiful was beautiful 10.5-pound baby.
Yeah, he was 4.7 kilos,
10.4 pounds, is that right?
10.4 pounds, like 4.7 kilos.
Yeah, he was a big unit.
56 centimeters.
He's grown into himself a lot now. He's extended himself. He's longer.
Yeah, we printed some photos and fuck, he was a potato man. He was so.
Or as Cheryl said, he's 5 kilos of pork sausages.
He was.
Yeah.
So you couldn't even see any characteristics on him. He was just all fat.
She was busting to get him on the scales. She was like, I need to get him on the scales. I need to find out how much this kid went. This is incredible.
And they were just so shocked. And then when they did, so finally we were thinking about whether they do the injection to bring the placenta on. And that was the only time I think I felt the whole time where they had kind of told me they wanted to do something. Yeah. Everything else was my decision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even Lizzie still had my back at that point. She was like, well, hang on, Stacey, you know. And I was like, I was so tired and was a bit uncomfortable at this point. The placenta, the umbilical cord was quite short and I was a bit uncomfy in the pool and I just wanted to wrap it all up. Like, I was pretty done. He had fed at that point. Before we got out of the pool, he had done a breast crawl, fed himself. Yeah. He was always a very good latcher.
Straight on the boob, came out straight on the boob.
He put himself on there too.
Yeah, yeah.
He was big enough as well to just kind of get his way there.
Which is what they say about big babies. Mm. They just,
So I fed him. For a little bit, I don't even remember how long, you cut the placenta. I think we left it
intact. Cut the cord.
Intact. Yeah. The umbilical cord. We left it intact for as long as we could, I think, because it was so short and I was in the pool. It was pretty hard.
Yeah.
But we left it on for like 20 minutes, I think, at least. It was almost not pulsating.
Yeah.
So we wanted to keep that on as long as possible. But, you know, sometimes you just then make decisions.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's been long enough. And so we did that, and then just as we decided to do the injection for the placenta, I got the contraction. So it was a bit the only thing that I was a bit like, oh, shit, if we had waited five more minutes. But at that point, my heightened energy was back. I was just excited. I just wanted to party.
You also want to go and meet your boy.
Yeah, and just talk to everyone about what the fuck just happened.
Yeah.
Just have that kind of, you know, that next day recap, like after a wedding or something. I was just so keen to get into the next part.
Yeah.
So it was pretty full on when I got out, though. I think I still am still in a bit of shock as to what happens next with your body. I didn't expect all the blood, and it wasn't even that crazy. The pool it wasn't like a murder scene. It wasn't anything like that. Funny enough, with home births and water births, it was all pretty contained, you know. And by the time they'd packed up, we got some food for everybody and just had a big chat, and they were just in awe of how big the baby was. And then I had my my, I don't know, they do kind of like a checkup afterwards on me.
Yeah.
And they realized there was a teeny bit of a graze. And they were like, but there's, they really didn't feel the need for a stitch. So there was no real tear there, which they also thought my midwife's, and Lizzie, my doula, was just like incredible.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a huge
they made
feat.
Me feel like such a rock star, like that I was just like going to be in the Hall of Fame at the hospital or some shit. But it was pretty cool, you know, and to think that I'd overcome those ideas around my birth and my mum's experience and, you know, not only to have overridden that but to also have home birth that kind of size baby is something that I'm exceptionally proud of. And it does come back to that conversation that I said at the beginning of this podcast, that I didn't do a home birth or anything to do with my birth about sharing my story at all. This journey's been very private, but once I had the big baby, I kind of was like, fuck yeah, I have that stripe. I have that under my belt now to be able to say, no, actually, this is how it can be done. Yeah, and it just made me feel so proud in the old part of me meets the new part of me. But there was
it's
a connecting
inspirational, though,
point,
to others as well.
You know, there was a connecting point. I felt like they were quite distant from each other for a bit. And then when I did that, I was like, oh, fuck yeah, that's a story. And it kind of got me back to who I was before I was pregnant a bit.
Yeah.
Which is why we're here and sharing this story and saying the story it was, which was the most epic 24 hours of our lives. You know?
Always will be. I don't even know if you have another kid, if we're blessed to have another kid.
How it will ever top this. I don't think it can for your first.
No.
I don't think you don't ever go into anything so important and not know so little.
Yeah.
You know, you can prep all you want, but we had no idea of how that was going to roll. And I think, look, they always say, I've done so much research, watched so much about birth, spoken to so many people about birth now, you never really know how a birth's going to go.
No.
But I have some idea of what it might feel like or, you know, I don't know, just, it just, you've just got a bit more of an idea than you did before.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, wow. That was almost, took a bit of energy going through that. It was almost like going through birth again.
I wouldn't go that far, Ben.
It's like reliving it. I don't know about you, but you know.
We called him Bryn from the beginning too. He was always Bryn Maverick. For about 24 hours, I thought.
Could be Maverick.
Should his name be Maverick?
No, he was always a Bryn.
Cold feet.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was always a Bryn. He was just a bit of a fight, like not a fighter, but he just came out as such a maverick. You know, his experience and birth was such a maverick kind of thing to do.
Yeah.
So I just thought, oh, maybe that's his name for a bit. And then we got to know him and his beautiful little soul. And we were just like, oh, no.
He's definitely a Bryn.
He's Bryn. He's Bryn.
A little soft touch.
So we hope you enjoy. We will be back next time with a new episode of talking a little bit more about what life looks like now and maybe have some topics that you guys bring. So make sure that you at any point look out for our question boxes if we've got, you know, some space for you to fill out topics or questions you'd
and
like
also
us to answer.
Also some episodes that I'd like to do where we both come with a topic and we give you the male and female perspective, the guys and girls perspective on whatever that topic is and the differences and
right,
how that can come together or come to a head in a relationship.
Yeah, so we're going to mix it up this season. It'll just be whatever we feel like doing in the moment.
Yeah.
There'll be a mix of, you know, relationships, a mix of parenting, a mix of maybe social issues or other relationship issues.
Yep.
It could be, you know, a whole myriad of
guy
things.
Stuff, girl stuff.
Mm.
All of it.
Just whatever feels like floating our boat. But at the moment, we're pretty consumed with the parent thing.
It is time consuming and tiring.
Yeah.
Because it's coming into the evening. Now. It's coming to the evening here now. It's like nearly 9 o'clock. And, you know, once you get to this stage, like when you've got a baby and they keep you up in the middle of the night, you can power your way through the day with coffee, and then you get to this point and you're like,
yeah, I just not new to
like
anyone that's had a kid, but if for those of you that haven't, it's a different kind of commitment. Let me tell you, there's not a whole lot of room for much else in your life at this point of a baby's life. But the really interesting thing that I've found is that I don't want to be anywhere else or have anything else going on.
No, absolutely
even
not.
I'm doing still a bit of writing on my book, and it's still, it's a real, a real struggle to get me there to the keyboard.
Because, be good when this book's finished.
Oh, fucking, you reckon?
There's a lot of talk about writing books and book coming. Let's just write this book. Let's get it done, okay?
Are you actually joking me right now?
No, let's get it done.
Do you think that this is like a walk? I've got a 3 months old, and I'm like,
no,
I'm holding this up.
No.
What are you trying to say, Ben?
I'm just saying, let's get it done. But I look forward to the day when it's done.
It sounds like you're alluding to the fact that I'm not trying to get it done.
No, that's what you're putting on that.
Bullshit.
No, I'm just saying.
What do you think I'm doing?
Let's have it done.
Just sitting back on my bloody.
No, well, if you were, you wouldn't be writing a book, would you?
True.
Okay. Yes. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll be back again real soon, okay?
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
This has been another Bijou Podcast production.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.